Is daf kufay. Top line is Amar Rava. Rava says, "Hi man, the kabel iska min chavre. A person accepts in times of iska a certain business deal from his friend who posed and he lose it, and so therefore on his own as he's trying to sell the products, tarachu malya, and he ends up doing tiracha and he replaces the value, the lost value, and brings it back up to par. Lo odi le v'lo oda." He doesn't tell the guy who gave him the merchandise that he lost the merchandise and replaced it and did all this extra tircha. So he said, "Lo mati amarle dari mehach pseida bahadi." Let's split the loss. You know, I made us a profit in the end of the day, but there is still some loss that we should take into account. So Gemara says, "Mishum da amarle lahachi tarchas lamliusa," because that's why I did the tircha. The guy could say to him, "No, mishum d'amrei lahachi tircha." The reason why I did the extra tircha lemnel yusa to replenish the loss was not because you were expecting me to pay. Rather, you did this kehecha d'lo likrei lucha mafsid iski, so to save your own reputation that you weren't a person who takes people's merchandise and loses it. That's why I did the extra tircha. Not that I have to pay you for the extra tircha. And for that reason, the person who gave the merchandise initially he's not obligated to pay to split the loss. Amar Rava. Rava says another statement. Honey bay trey davdi iski bahadeh hadadeh. Two partners who had came together to do a certain business deal for Ravach, and they made some profit. One says to the next guy, "Tell Liflog, let's sell the product, the business, and let's go our own ways." So if the other guy says, "Narvich tvei, no, we did great. Let's invest further. Don't pull out. Let's continue to go. Continue to grow the business." So do you know who the ma'akev? So he has the right. The partner has the right to be ma'akev and not sell the business and continue to grow. Let me take half of the revenue. We'll keep the initial $1 million we put in. We'll keep the Karen there. But the $100,000 of profit, let me take my $50,000 back with me. So see here too as well. So the other guy, the partner, could say, "No, Ravcha lekarna mishtabi. The revach, that $50,000 that you want to pull out, is really meshubah to the business, and we have to keep it all together. You can't just take that part and walk away. Obviously, more money's invested. That means there's more money that's going to grow." V'amarle, he says, "Havle palga ravcha palga karna. I want to pull out entirely. Take the 50% revenue, the 50% of the actual karen. I want to take all $500,000 plus the $50,000. Take it back with me." So Amarle, he says, "Iske lahadade mushuba." No, the business, everything's tied together. The revach's tied to the karen, the karen's tied to the revach, and all the business deals is all together. We can't just split the business just like that. The Amrle says, "Niflag ravcha v'niflag karna." So let's split. What's the difference from this one? Let's split now the revenue, and also let's split the karim. Did we suggest that just before?
And if it's going to cost you a loss, I will,
let's split it. And he adds in v'imati l'chab seida, and it's going to have a loss. Darina b'hadech. So I'll take that loss. So Amrle lo mazlab debate trade lo. Mazel of the betray other. I don't want to take that approach because the mazel of two individuals is greater than the mazel of just one individual, and therefore, according to the simple reading of the Gemara, I don't know halach l'maisa. It seems very hard to pull out of a business, a partnership, unless you have the consent of the other. Okay. Now the Mishnah says, "Hamakabel sada mechaver." Guy accepts a field from his friend. Lo rotza lenachish. He refuses to weed, take out all the bad weeds from the property. Namlo, he says, "Ma'ach pesalcha." He says to the owner. He says to the landlord, "I'm working the field. I'm the farmer here." He says, "What does it bother you? I'm going to pay you the lease anyway. We have an agreement where I pay you $1,000 a month, and any of the produce I keep. So what do you care whether the produce is weak or not? You're getting your payment each month." Ein shamim lo. We don't listen to the farmer in this case, the one who's working the land. Ipnei sheyachal lomer lo, because the owner, the landlord, could say to him, "Lemacher, but tomorrow when you leave, ata yotzi mimenu malas lifnei asav. I'm going to have all these weeds and grass. It's bad for my field." So you can't make such a taina. So I amar le levaser hachi kravino la. But let's say the worker says, "Don't worry about it. I'll leave the weeds there, and when I plow the field later on, when I work the land later on, look at Rashi, last two narrow lines in Rashi, the amar le karivin nevichule hashta mifarish amai ein shomerla." We're explaining why we don't listen to the farmer working the land, and we listen to the landlord, because I amar lo, if he says to the owner, "Ani achrosh, don't worry, I'll plow the field achra ktsira, After the ksira, I'll let the weeds grow now. I don't want to bother with them now. But after the ksira, after take out all the grains, I'll plow everything through, and through that, the weeds will come up. Don't worry about it. Va'afoch, I'll turn over the sharshi asavim. I'm going to rip out all the roots. Shenosu above yamus, so all the leftovers will be. So don't worry. By the time I leave the property, there'll be no wheat and no weeds left either. And when you have it the next year for yourself, there'll be no grass left. So what's he going to say then? You can't make the tain of lamacha, there's going to be grasses, because after I'm done with the ksira, I'm going to plow everything, it's going to be completely flat. So Amalei, he says, because chati mal yasa ba'ina, I want some good wheat, and if the weeds are present while the wheat's growing, you're going to be paying me your monthly payments out of wheat. It's going to be very weak type of wheat. I want a strong wheat, so the weeds are going to affect it, so that's not a taina. So it's not only the concern of next year's use of the farmer, it's even this year's payment, that's part of his concern. The Amr, he says, Amr Leizvina Lecha Chita Meshukah. You know what? I'll tell you what. When I pay you the lease, the monthly payment, I'll pay you from wheat, from the shuk, from the highest quality wheat. And don't worry about your field. I'll get you good wheat. Don't worry. Amr Leiz says, no, Chita Da'arai, but you know, I want the wheat from my land. It's more precious to me. It's from my land. I own it. I want my wheat. I want my wheat to be good. So the Amr Leiz says, Minach Shilacha Shir Minascha. Don't worry. He says, I'll take off some of that. I mean, the amount of the devaluing of the wheat with the presence of the weeds, so I'll add on more in quantity of the wheat to compensate for the quality, the lesser quality. So then he says, no, Amalei ka minasfas Hashem ra la'ara, and now I'm going to have a bad reputation that this guy's field, my field, he says, has bad, it's a bad land, it has bad wheat. I don't want that Hashem ra on my field, on my farm. So then the Gemara says, is that really the reason because of Hashem ra? Bahatan, our Mishnah said the reason was Mipnei Shemalas Lefanai Asavim. He's concerned because the next season he's going to have these weeds left over, not because of a Shem Ra. So Amar Lei, Mishum Amar Lei, Bazra de Nafal Nafal. So what does that mean? So look at Rashi, four wide lines down towards the end of the line, says Allah Mishum Amar Lei, Bazra de Nafal Nafal. Kol Tanasa, his old Taina, Eino Ella Shemalas Asavim Lashana Haba. The real Taina of the landlord was because of the grass and the weeds that will grow next year. And that taina still stands. When the worker says, don't worry, I'll plow the land after I cut it. He says, granted, you're going to rip out all the grass and the roots. So in the end of the day, still, when you rip them out, some of the seeds are going to fall from the weeds. And then just because you rip it out one time, there's still leftover seeds that's going to cause it to grow next year. The longer you leave the weeds in there, the more likely it is to grow back the following year. So it's all these conversations, all the tightness back and forth, is really going back to the concern of the grass growing back the following season. So therefore, I want you to get rid of the weed as soon as possible, nick it in the bud, and this way it doesn't grow back at all. Fine. The mission now says, Masnisin hamakabel sada michaveiro. A guy accepts a sada from his friend. V'lo asusa, and he doesn't do it. He does nothing. He doesn't really make much produce. If it has enough to make a certain pile of, so then he has to continue to work the land. So what does that mean? So Rashi explains here, it only produces a little bit of the grain. And the landlord wants to prevent him from lahasik ba'od. There's nothing, the worker says, there's nothing left for me to work here. It's tiny grains here. What am I supposed to do? So the Mishnah says, "Im yesh bo kedei la'asos mitvukri." If there's enough to make a little mound, so then we make the farmer work the field as it's detached, whatever is left over in that kri. So then, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, my ktava b'kri. What kind of measurement is that? If there's a mound here, if there's a small little pile. There could be. Rashi says here, "Ma kitzva b'kri." Ma kitzva yesh im kitzvasam lo kri lishur chiyav tipo. How are you connecting a small pile? How could it be the same amount for a big field and a small field? It doesn't match up to use the kri amount as what obligates the farmer to continue to work. Ella, what he says is im yeshbo kedei nefila. Rashi explained to kedei nefila sheyachol achzer lezara l'shana haba mitvu shana zu. There's enough to replant for the following year. That's what the shear is. Nefila says Rashi, Zera Shemefazin Labim Mepolis Yad. If you could put in your hand some seeds and you could sprinkle it throughout, that's the definition of the shear. How, if there's enough to replant the next season. Now, I'm not sure how Rabbi Yehuda is he must be saying enough to plant that size field, as opposed to, because beforehand his concern was just the mound, regardless of the size of the field. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if there's enough seeds to plant that size field, it's going to depend on how big a field you worked, then you would have to continue to work that field. If it's a small land, so a small amount of seeds, and if it's a big field, then a big amount of seeds. If it's less than that, then we cannot force the farmer to stick on and continue to work here. The Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, the Braisa tells us how Mekabel Sodem Mechaveru, a guy accepts a field from his friend. But Austin, it didn't produce anything. Im Yeshbo Kadeh Laham in Kuri, Chayv Latapaba, like our Mishnah says, Shekain Kos of Love, this is part of the agreement that they wrote. Ana Okim, V'Anir, I'm going to keep this land, I'm going to watch it, V'Anir, I'm going to plow the land, V'Ezra, I'm going to plant the land, V'Ach Sod, I'm going to cut the land, V'Amir, I'm going to create piles of the land, Ma'amir, these are all the different, the Melachas of Sidur, the Pas of Melachas Shabbos. V'Adosh, I'm going to thresh, I'm going to step on the grains, V'Idri, I'm going to then do Zorah to it and have it, the wind blow off the soft stuff. V'okim kri, I'm going to make a pile. Kedamcha v'teisa anat, and you'll take v'tita pagan, we'll split half and half. Vani b'amali, I'm going to take my half and all the amelis. It's your field, but I'm going to collect my payment because of the amelis, the effort that I put in. Ubunafkos yad palga, and I'll take out half of the revenue. V'kama kedei lahamid b'kri, how much is it? How much do I have to stick on for? What does it mean kedei lahamid kri? So I'm Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Kadei Shetamod Bo Harachas. So the size is, if you take a rachas, I'm not sure how they say this in English, but some type of a plow, a shovel of some, a pitchfork, you could take it and it could stick in the pile, stand up on it and won't fall over. That's the size. If it's very small, of course, you put a pitchfork in it, it's going to fall over. It has to be enough where it could stay in the grass, stay in that pile, and remain standing. So that's the size of a Kadei Lahamid Kri, according to the Mishnah. That's the Bryce's interpretation. The Gemara wants some clarification on the shear here. So unclear what this line means exactly. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says around seven lines up from the bottom, let's say you could see the points from each end. Is that going to be enough? Unclear what that really means in Rashi. I don't know if the article...
Maybe you put it horizontally.
Horizontal, is that what it means? I know Tos has a different interpretation, which is clear. They say in an article that they give a shot in Rashi, because I don't get the image of Rashi trying to portray here. Anything, Yechi, if I'm putting you on the spot, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it sounds like you have to put it horizontally.
Okay, so that's it. So put it horizontally. Will that work? If it stands that way, so it'll be a wider pile, but won't have to be as deep necessarily. I'm not sure how you have it exactly stand horizontally, though. But then look at Tosas. Tosas writes, the question is, Rabbi Yochanan, garis mehagisa o mehagisa, perish kedei lahamid sad haracha v'shilamata. So where the wider, I'm going to think like the heavier part is on top, rather on the bottom. Shaz ein tzarach tevua kochach, you don't need a lot. If the heavier side is down low and the tip is on the end, it's you don't need as much of a pile to hold it together. Kochach shabadavar muat, omeid a little bit, you stick the pitchfork and it will remain. Veda nofil. O. Maybe the fork part, the wider parts on top, and the small parts in the center, that requires a bigger pile to hold that pitchfork together from tipping over. So which side of the pitchfork are we referring to, which is going to tell us the size of this kree? That's the question according to Tosos, and Rashi said, putting it horizontally, yeah.
It might not mean horizontally. Tall enough to hold it upright, but you can see the edges protruding from the other side.
Right, that's what I thought it was, seeing the edges. So even though it's holding up, but so small where you can see the end, very narrow, so it's holding up, but still very small. The Gemara thought if you stick the whole thing in where the entire fork area is going to be covered, now it's asking, let's say some of it sticks out from the side, will that be good enough as well? That's Rashi's understanding versus Rabbeinu Chanan's understanding. So the Gemara says, let's bring your Uriah Mai. What's the halacha here? And again, we're trying to define the size of this mound that's going to mechayev the farmer to continue to work the job, even though the field produced very little. So the Gemara says, Mai, Tashma, Amar Rabbi Abahu Lididi, Mefarshili Mina. It was explained to me once. The Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Hanina, Kol Shein Konis Shelo, Roe Pnei HaChama. So long as the Konis, which I think the part that enters, the fork part, where that fork part, as long as it doesn't see the sun, meaning that's the shear. So it's in the pile, that's the part. So according to Rashi, that means it's completely covered up. And according to Rabbi Chananel, where the wider side, the fork part, is in the mound as opposed to it on the top. So Gemara now says Itmar. It was said in the name of Levi. Amar Shalosh Sarim. That's the amount of this. So what does it mean in actual practice? What's the volume? So Levi Paskin, three sarim is the shear of the that mound of a kri that the work has to continue to work the land. The Bei Rabbi Yane Amru Sasayim. No, two amounts of a saw is the shear. When we evaluate the size of Sasayim, we first take off the amount of work and the effort the farmer put in, and if after that there's still remaining a Sasayim of that creed, then he would have to continue to work this mound as well. Mishnah now says, Tanan Hasan, this Mishnah, which appears in Maseches Uktin, the Pritzei Zesim Vanavim, which we'll see what that means in a second, these types of olives and grapes, Beishamei Metamim, Beishil Metarin. So we know when it comes to food, food is only metame, it only becomes tame if it is roi l'achil, it has to be completely ripe and developed. So according to Beishamei, at this early stage, it's already considered tame, can become tame. And Beishil says it's still tar, it's not considered a complete fruit yet. So my Pritzei Zesim, what are these things? Rav Huna Rishe Zesim, fascinating name, the evil olives, okay, unclear what that exactly means, but Rashi tells us that, Rashi doesn't tell us anything. There we go, Pritzei Zesim, Kinefarish Rishe Zesim, Vanavim Shein Leolam Boser, Shein Bishum Nigmar Leolam Boser, is what the Gemara refers to several places, the Gemara in Brachos and Ketzim Mevarchim. Boser is a very underdeveloped grape, it's called Boser, so this is not ripe yet. So according to Beis Hillel, that's not a grape yet, it's still Tahor. But Beis Shammai thinks it is considered a grape and would become tame. So Gemara wants to know now, Mikra, what's Rav Yosef Amar Mikra, what's the source of that Pritzei, Tahor, Pritzei rather, Anavim is referring to underdeveloped. So I quote a few psukim here. First pasuk is Daniel, it says, Ubnei Pritzei Amcha Yinasu Lahamid Chazon V'nich Shalu. Somehow this pasuk indicates Pritzei is referring to those that are underdeveloped. And Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Mihacha, different pasuk he quotes in Yechezkel, Beholid ben Paritz, Shofech Dam. Okay, so two pesukim that Paritz refers to things that are underdeveloped. So Pritzei Kama Pritzei Zesim, so how much, what's the size of Pritzei Zesim, how do you know? So Rashi says, Rashi asks the question, Kama Hein Mivushalim, Badaim Pritzim Hein, how far developed can they be, and are they still considered Pritzim? So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Elazar, Amar Arbas Kavin Lekora. So Rashi explains here, Arbas Kavin Lekora, Shemachnisim Bebeis Bad, you put into a wine or olive press, Man Kadesha Yir Tinas Hakora, the amount that it takes that you typically put into a press, whatever, however many it could fit, so that amount, and Bepamachas, in one time, you fill the press up as to the capacity, Vein Motzin Ela Arba Kavin Shav Shemen, it only produces a 4 kav of oil, that's a very small amount apparently, that's considered Pritzei Anavim, that's underdeveloped. According to the Bei Rabbi Yanai Amar, Sasayim Lekar, no, if it produces 2 amounts of Asa, that's considered still underdeveloped. Philo Pligi, there is no Machlokes, Ha Ba'asa Demaili Korah Balala, Ha Ba'asa Demaili Tlasa Korin Balala. Depends, they have different size wine, olive presses. So in one place, they bring in 1 core, so 4 kav would be the shear for 1 core, that's still underdeveloped. And the other place of Beyanai, Rav Yanai, would be where they put 3 core. They had much bigger wine and olive presses. They put 3 core of olives and wine and grapes in there, rather. And it would produce sasayim. That would be that ratio that's needed to define a Pritzei Anavim and Pritzei Zesim. Gemara quotes of Bryson now. Tanur Rabbanan going on to Amud Beis now. Tanur Rabbanan Alu Be'ilan. It's an interesting case now. Alu Be'ilan Shekochara Ubusuka Shekochara. Tameh. So what's the case here? So Rashi explains on the top here, Zav v'tahor li'ilan shekochara. You have a Zav, an individual man who's Tameh. He's climbing a tree, and there's another person who's Tahor who's climbing the tree as well. And this tree is a very weak tree. O l'suka anaf ilan shekochara. They're underneath some type of sukkah where the tree is creating a shed, a shade, and it's a very weak tree. So Tameh, Rashi explains that Tahor, the Tahor guy is Tameh because he's there with the Zav. Shekeben she'ilan o l'suka kochara, since they're very weak in strength, Nichfefes tachden, it ends up bending as they climb the tree, it's starting to tilt over. Ukaved ha'elyon ala tachton, and the weight of the upper one is lying on the lower one. Benishin alav mikocha she'elyon. So the halacha is, whenever the Zav creates any weight, he puts any weight on anything or anyone, that's going to make him tameh. Ubein Zav Shinishan Ahatar, Ubein Atar Nishan Ahazav Tame. Regardless of who's putting weight on who, there is some transfer of weight, which is going to then transfer tumah as well. So that's what the Mishnah tells us, or the Mishnah of Hazavim, the Masech Hazavim tells us this. Gemara wants to know now, how do you define a weak tree? We were just speaking about before weak olives and weak grapes, so now we're talking about weak trees. Amri de Rab Yanai kol she'en bi'ikaro lachok rova. If the trunk is so small, you cannot carve out the size of a rova, whatever size that is, that means it's a very weak tree. And if they both climb this very flimsy tree and it bends back and forth, it's going to transfer the tumah from the zav to the tahor. According to Heichidami Sukkah Shekochara, and what's the example of a sukkah or a leaning tree that's very weak as well? Amar Eish Lakish Kol She Nichbeis Bichezyona. So I'm not quite sure this image either. Rashi explains it, She Nichbeis Bichezyona, She Nitmenes Bachizasa, where you could hide it in your grab, in your hold. She Ochiz Ba Tomna Bakaf Yado, it's so small you could put it in your hand. So I don't know what he's trying to describe here, the shade, the tree, anything there?
That you could go around the whole thing, like.
The branch itself that's bending over.
Sukkah, he said before, was not enough. You want
so the branch. The branch is so small that you could grab that the width of it. You could put your hand, your fingers around it like that or something. Okay. So that means a week. The sukkah is very weak, and that will transfer that weight and transfer that tumah from the zav to the tahor. So the Gemara now says, Tanan Hasam, the Mishnah tells us this Mishnah appears in Maseches Olos. Amahalech Bebeis HaPras, a guy's walking Bebeis HaPras, which is a cemetery that had been plowed over, so it's a suffix whether there's tumor. We have no idea if there's any bones left the size of a Seora. If there are no bones left the size of a Seora, then nothing's tumor anymore. But there might still be some, and you might walk over and move it and touch it and become in the same oil as it, and you would become tumor. So a person's walking this Beis HaPras, which again is Tumah Midirabanan. Agavi Avadim, he's walking on some stones. Shiyach Lahasi, where it can be moved. So if you cause the movement of a Etzim Kisaora, that's going to make you Tame. Al Ha'adam Al Behema, or he's on the back of a person or riding the back of an animal. Shekoch and Ra, which are very weak, that also become Tame, because the movement, that transfer of movement, the weakness of the Adam holding you, and the weakness of the animal holding you, that movement of the bone is going to then cause you to become Tame as well. So Gemara again wants to know, Heichidami Adam Shekoch Ra, what's an example of a weak person? Amarish Lakish Kol She Rochvo Varkavos of Nokshos. When you're riding the guy's shoulders and he can't hold the weight, he's shaking his knees together like that. He's really like, he's like shivering almost. So that means he's too weak, and that if a person's carrying you through such a Beis HaPras, the one on his shoulders would become Tame as well. And Heichidami Behemish Kol Chara, what's an example where the animal is weak? Amar de Rabbiana was really weighing in on all these different shirim, by the way. So he must have been a math person. So Amar de Rabbiana Litfila, I skipped the line, sorry. Amar de Rabbiana Yanai Kol She Rochvo Matila Galalam. The animal, apparently one of the indicators that it was carrying something too heavy, it was constantly going to the bathroom. That's indicating that the animal is Kochara, and the person riding such an animal in a Beis HaPras would also become Tamid. So here we have again Amri de Rabbiana. The tefila ula tefillin dalad kavim. He made a statement, a cryptic statement, when it comes to tefillin and wearing tefillin, the shear is dalad kavim. What does that have to do with anything? So the Gemara explains, the tefila, what's the shear of tefila? The sani, the Brisa tells us, hanosei masoi al ksefo, a guy is carrying some package on his shoulders, v'yigizman tefila, now it's time for tefila, he had to daven. So pachos mi dalad kavim, if the weight is less than dalad kav, so mafshilu l'achorav mispalo, he could just put it over his shoulder and continue to daven while he's holding it. There's a halacha brought down in Shulchan Aruch, you're not supposed to carry anything. You can't carry, but the halachas, you could carry a siddur or a machzer, things that are supposed to be the tzarech tefila, you're allowed to. So even when it comes to carrying any package, you should put down the backpack, you should put down things you're carrying, but the Rabbiana has a heter, if it's less than dalad kav, I don't know what that means for us in our weight, but less than dalad kav, you could hang it over your shoulder, like a backpack, and one can continue to daven. But if it's a arba kavin or more, then meniach agave karki, you need to place it on the ground, umispala, and then you daven. That's the shear of dalad kavin when it comes to tefila, lefishitas Rabbiana. Then regarding the tefillin, mahi, what's the tefillin halacha? The sani, the Brisa tells us, haya nosem masoy al rosho, he's carrying something on his head. Tefillin b'rosho, and he also is wearing tefillin on his head. Im hayo tefillin rotzotz aser. If the rotzotz, which Rashi says, mismachos tachas amasot, is being crushed by the heavy load he's carrying, that's aser to do that. That's a bizayon. It's a destruction of davarship kedusha. Vim lav, it's very light. It's not going to place any pressure on the tefillin, and it's mutter to do this. Beis amasoy amru, which type of a package are we referring to? Sami b'masa shel arba kavin, that's going to be the size we're concerned it's going to start smashing and squashing the tefillin. If it's less than arba kavin, then there is no problem of carrying such a weight on your head. Okay. Mar now tells us Tani Rabbi Chiya Hamotzi Zeval Rosho Betulim Rosho. Interesting case here. The guy is carrying some manure on his head, and at the same time he's also wearing tefillin on his head. Hareze lo yisalkum letzadim v'lo yikashim b'masnav mipnei shehu noig behen minag b'zayim. So he shouldn't move them over to the side, nor should he tie them around his waist, because that's a minag b'zayim. Aval, what he should do is, he has to get them off his head, though. To push it off to the side here, that would be bizayon. You don't wear tefillin like that. To put them around your waist, that doesn't make sense. Bizayon. What you should do is, though, you leave the zevel on your head, and aval koshim, you take the tefillin al zro'o, b'makom tefillin, you place a sharosh on your yad and wrap it that way, mishum debei shila av. So that's what he says. So Rashi, did Rashi explain anything? No. So then, mishum debei shila amru, afil matpacha shalahen asal aniach al harosh sheishbo tefillin. Rashi says here, afil matpacha shalahen shekorchen ba tefillin belayla, that they used to wrap the tefillin at night time to protect it, a little bag of some sort. Aser l'shem masoy arosh b'shah shetefillin b'mkoman munachin. Even that, which is, you think, it's a davash b'kdusha to a certain extent, it's the tefillin bag, you cannot place that on your head while wearing tefillin at the same time. So then the Gemara wants to know, v'kama. So Rashi says, kama yehe b'masoy v'yehe aser l'anichel arosh aliva d'rabyani. What's the shear that's, or b'shila, what's the shear here that's aser to carry according to b'shila? So Amar Abai says, Afilu riva de riva de bumpadisa. A very, very small shear. Rashi says, riva de riva de revia litra davar muatu. Even a small amount, a tiny thing, I don't know, again, that means in our terms, but something so small that you're putting on your head would be aser to wear at the same time one would be wearing tefillin and shavrosh. Okay. Now, it's interesting, Rashi, look at Tosis for a second. Tosis writes, Matpacha shelahen Rabbeinu Chananel garishel lechem. No, it's talking about a lunch bag of some sort. You don't put tefillin in a cloth. You put it in a bag, or you put it into a container, not into a cloth of some sort. So just, it's just a practical difference. So according to Reina Chana, it refers to a lunch bag or something, or a sandwich, a napkin, paper towel. Okay. Mar now says, Amar Yehuda, my kids will be crazy. So he was uncomfortable with saying the shear of that. If the Aura says that, listen, the field produced nothing, there's no need for me to be here anymore. If there's a certain mound of a certain size, he would have to stay on. So he wasn't so happy with the shear of the Kree. So he therefore said, if it's a kedei nefila, amount to replant the field. So kama kedei nefila, what's that shear? So Rabbi Ya'ami Amar Rabbi Yochan Arba Son Lekor. So if it's Arba Son, that amount per each core. That's the amount. Rashi says, Dalad Son Zera Lekor, the base karka core. So if the for every core of area of the field, you have a volume of dalad sa'im to plant, that's the ratio that you're working with. Rashi explains a little bit more detail the numbers, I'm not going to go through them. And then the Gemara says, Rabbi Ami lidile amar shmonas sa'an l'kor. He thinks, no, double that amount. You need eight amounts of seed per core of karka. Amar le ha'u saba, the certain elderly man said to Rav Chama b'rei d'rabba bar avuwa, Asfar lachal, I'm going to explain to you that b'shnei de b'yochan, in the years of Rabbi Yochanan, who gave the first shear, that was only four sa', ha'vishmeina'ara, the land were very productive, it was fatty, so therefore even four sa' was able to produce and plant the entire field. But b'shnei de Rabbi Ami, ha'vishkisha'ara, the land was much weaker, so you needed double the amount, you needed eight sa' in order to plant the entire field. So it's not a set shear, it really depends on the time, the season, the place that a person's planting to figure out what that amount of the mound would be worth. Tanan Hasan. The Mishnah tells us, the Mishnah appears in Maseches Peah, Harach Shepizur as HaOmrim. So let's say the wind takes all the various grains and spreads them out over what? So Rashi explains, look at the last three narrow lines of Rashi, Besadeh, V'ki says HaLeket Shal Aniyim HaMefuzer Besadeh. There's Leket that the Aniyim are supposed to collect. And now the wind came and blew all the farmer's wheat over the wheat that was supposed to go to the Aniyim. They don't know how much leka was below, how much really belonged to the ani, and how much belongs to the farmer. So what are you supposed to do? So Rashi continues to explain. Shamanosa Bezdin. Bezdin does an assessment here. Holchen alev shaman. They walk around the property. Veshaman kama leket sadezu ruya lehasos bechol shana. They walk around the land and see how much this land would, based on certain percentages, would typically produce to say what goes to the ani and what gets to be kept by the farmer. So the Mishnah explains further. Back to the Gemara here. So Omdin, they evaluate also that field, Kama Leket Rui Lasos, how much Leket this field like this would normally produce. Benosin Laniyim, and that they would give the field. That's what the Tanakhama says. They give the Aniyim those that percentage. Again, it's not going to be exact, of course, but they make the best estimate possible. But then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Omer Nosin Laniyim Kedei Nefila. They give them the amount of a Kedei Nefila. Vekama Kedei Nefila. He also, Rav Dimon came from Eretz Yisrael, he quoted, came from Amr Abelazar, Yisem Adar said he was quoting Rabbi Yochanan, he reported back to Bavel saying, Arbas Kavin Lekor, 4 Kav per core, the amount it would take to plant an entire field the size of a core, that's how much you have to give the Anim. So every core property this guy has, 4 Kav has to go to the Anim. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah, who's always in the parsh of asking questions, you want to be so exact in the numbers of Shirim, so by Rabbi Yirmiyah, Lekor Zera, or Lekor Tevua, the Mepal Ziyad, and Mepal Shvarim. What exactly does the Shir mean? Did it mean a core of Zera, how much a core needed to plant? Or maybe only a core of what's been produced, whereby the seed would be much smaller, but maybe only after it grew into something, tomatoes and potatoes, whatever it is, a core of the end product. And when it says Mepalus, how much Mepolis? Mepolis of what one would put down if he's planting by hand, which is a small amount, or more seeds what's being planted when the shvar, when the oxen are the ones who are doing the plowing and the sowing. So what's the exact shear here? So Tashma, Dechi Asi Ravin, when Ravin came back from Eretz Israel, he reported back, Amri Rabbi Bohu, he quoted from Rabbi Lazar, and others say Amri Rabbi Yochanan, he quoted from, Abbas Kavin Lekor Zera, in terms of planting the field, that's how many seeds you need, not the end product. But still, we still don't know the question, does it go based on a man doing the seed, or more oxen doing it? And the Gemara ends in that question as a teku. Okay, here's probably a good stopping point. Okay, Dr. Smai, welcome back. First time with you, Adam.